going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. Oh my gosh, one of my favorite stories of the day, which I think will be more nostalgia-inducing for Dan than maybe Sam, but I could be wrong.
Oh, so it's something old?
Yes. If you think back, Dan, to when we were growing up and like Gilligan's Island and all of those shows, there were a few things that were almost routinely featured in some of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
And there are memes about it where as adults, you look back and you think, I was way more afraid of this thing than I ever should have been.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very and afraid of
many
things.
Going with
you
this.
Know where I'm going with this?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, how many shows when we were growing up featured a failed attempt to escape quicksand?
Oh, quite a lot. That was a dangerous thing that many people in TV and movies had to deal with.
It was a major plot line in almost all of our shows growing up.
And
someone would get stuck in quicksand.
We know how to rescue somebody. Throw them the tree branch.
Right.
Throw them the vine.
But have you seen the meme that's out there now that says, I was way more terrified of quicksand as a child than needed be.
Because now it is real.
Okay, so it is real.
Oh, yeah.
I've told you this before. I have been caught in quicksand.
I have too.
Up to my waist.
You most certainly have not told me that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was down in Arkansas. It was actually last year during the eclipse. I had my waders on. We were on the White River. I was fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a little cut in, if you want to call it that,
inlet
on the side of the river.
Okay.
And instead of walking around it, I thought to myself, I'll just walk across it. I've got my waders on. And I took two steps, and that silt, whatever it was so soft, the sand, the silt, I just sunk straight to my waist.
Yeah.
And I could reach a tree nearby. And just like in the cartoons, I grabbed onto the base of the tree and pulled myself out.
There you go. Yeah. I put a whole leg into some boggy conditions, and I was portaging a canoe up in Ontario.
Of course you were.
Walking down the trail.
What
and
else
I'm like,
does one do with a canoe, Dan?
What?
What else does one do with a canoe?
Well, you paddle in it.
Okay.
But, you know, we were going from one body of water to the next, and so I had the canoe up on my head and shoulders, portaging as one does. And I stepped in a wet, muddy area, and it actually was a little bit deeper, and I go all the way down.
Did you need help getting out?
I was able to struggle out, yes.
Okay.
But it's real. If you don't have anything to grab onto and you just wiggle, you just get deeper and deeper.
So listen to this story out of West Michigan involving a Mitchell O'Brien and Brianna Sika. They were walking along a beach when Mitchell took a step and his leg began to sink in the sand. I would be like, is someone filming this? Am I being punked? Am I on the Brady Bunch?
You know, where you dig your feet
yes,
in.
Yes, but not
it's
where
wet.
It's dragging me down and I think I'm going to die, because that happened to this guy. He didn't panic. He tried to remove himself. He could not. 15 minutes went by as he's struggling. He and his girlfriend called 911.
And the tide is coming in.
And they actually needed help getting out. And then after that, they decided they wanted to get married and spend the rest of their lives together. So their relationship, that's why this is in the news, their relationship started with quicksand.
Step one, don't panic.
Okay, that's what it says. Step one, do not panic. Yeah. What to do? Then it says, if you ever find yourself in a situation involving quicksand, look for Marianne or Ginger and calmly try freeing yourself.
Marianne.
By gently kicking your legs back and forth. That should loosen the dense sand around you, allowing yourself to pull yourself free slowly. That's not how it happened in TV shows. I cannot believe both of you have gone through that.
Or you can also like kick out to the side. So a lot of people are just a marching in place motion is what they do. That actually digs the hole deeper.
If you're just pushing straight down.
And so if you lift like your left leg up and kick it out to the side and then do that with your right leg, you kind of climb your way out of it.
Yeah, you kind of get sucked into it. It's that that sucking you into the quicksand.
Okay, if, in fact, quicksand is really a thing, then how come it was only shown every week on various episodes in the late 70s and early 80s, but we never hear about it in modern cinema or television? There is never a damsel in distress in quicksand. That was a uniquely late 70s, early 80s thing.
Because no one dies. They all get out.
Well, that trope, they just moved on and replaced it with other tropes.
Series like Get Smart, Gilligan's Island, Batman, 60s. Lost in Space. Oh, we're forgetting the big one, The Incredible Hulk. All had moments of quicksand in them. In fact, according to one quicksand enthusiast, quicksand appeared in nearly 3% of all movies made in the 60s.
Oh, yeah. Now, what really didn't make sense was the fact that every time quicksand did appear in a cartoon, it was never in a place where quicksand would actually appear.
Right.
Like in the middle of a dry desert. You're not going to have quicksand in the middle of a dry desert. That's not how physics
works.
What
about during the rainy season, Sam?
Well, maybe. But, you know, it doesn't rain a whole lot in deserts.
Yeah, right. This photo of this guy is amazing. He's buried to his waist.
Oh, yeah. He legit got stuck. And then found a bride, which I absolutely love.
Sweet.
All right, we need some help on our next topic. I am fascinated. In 13 years on this program, I'm pretty sure this has never come about. It involves a lawsuit. It involves truck traffic. It involves federal funding and commerce. All of those things. A state agency this week has sent a letter to Edwardsville explaining that their truck ban on 110th Street violates federal law. The letter goes on to explain, if the truck ban isn't revoked, the city will lose all federal highway funding. Now, we've looked this up. I know where 110th and Ridgeview is. It's right. It's literally right off of I-70.
Yeah, so if you think about where Kansas Speedway is, where that whole shopping center is, it's just south of that across I-70. If you take 110th across I-70 there, which that's one of the exits off of I-70, just south, the first intersection is Ridgeview, and it's a roundabout.
The phones are already ringing. Apparently, Ridgeview is considered not a highway. 110th Street is considered a highway, and I read somewhere that someone with the city, maybe the mayor, lives along 110th. And so this whole thing started when someone with the city said, we don't want large trucks along 110th Street. And back in January, if you look on Facebook, this thing was percolating because the mayor posted, I am personally being sued for standing up for the residents of Edwardsville, my constituents, and my neighbors. She goes on to say, look, I can't really get into details because it's a pending lawsuit. Quote, our residents love Edwardsville because of its small town feel. I can assure you, she writes, that I will not be intimidated and I will continue to advocate for the safety and quality of life of our residents. If you are a truck driver, have you ever run into this where a city or a town says, we don't want trucks here? The problem with that is a larger company is trying to build a $100 million complex in Bonner. And in order to get to and fro in the building of this place, their trucks have to travel along 110th.
And you can see the workings of that complex on the Google Maps images. They have cleared out an entire plot of land right there on that intersection. My question would be, if you are not allowed to tell trucks where they can and can't go, why do we have no truck roads all over town?
So there's a little bit of a carve out when it comes to truck traffic, and we're going to talk about that coming up. But the word that I found that was used in this lawsuit against the city is fraud. The city is being sued for fraud. So my guess is this company said, hey, we want to build this huge thing right here. We were told we could use 110th Street to go back and forth with equipment and workers and all of those things. And then the city stepped in and said, look, this project is in Bonner. It's not in Edwardsville. We don't want you using 110th in Edwardsville. The city is being sued along with all of the people that had their fingerprints on banning the truck traffic. And when we come back, I want to talk to our truckers. I think the city is going to lose.
From the text line, if it says no trucks, we just drive through it anyway.
Oh, okay. This is what we want to know. You know, everyone sort of owns the highways, right? But to Sam's point, why are there some roads then that say no trucks? 913-586-7798. We'll take your calls on that straight ahead. You are listening to Dana and...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Parks. By the way, the lawsuit, and it, man, docket thing on this is pages and pages and pages long. It is Scannell Properties that is suing the city of Edwardsville. I do believe they will win. We'll get into that in a moment. Listen to this. One of the area's most active developers is suing the city of Edwardsville and its mayor for fraud after the passage of an ordinance to ban truck traffic on an avenue fronting its under-construction project, $100 million project we were telling you about. At issue is an Edwardsville ordinance that was passed in September banning truck traffic on 110th Street between Riverview and Kansas Avenue. Such a move would cut off truck traffic along that industrial park's eastern border. And does the industrial park, Sam, already have buildings there, or is this just all brand new $100 million development?
Just cleared the property. There are no buildings on it yet, at least according to Google Maps. I don't know how old those pictures are. From the text line, the thing is, even though some places say no truck route, if the job is on that route, the trucks then are exempt from prosecution on said route. So if there's no other way, which there is on 110th, you have to go to 435 and around to I-70, then come in that way. they just bypass the signs and drive down
but
the road.
But that's
anyway.
My question. If there's another route, is the city of Edwardsville in the right for saying you've got to take the highway, do not come through 110th Street, even though 110th Street, is that considered a highway, Sam? Why would they lose federal funding?
I don't know if it's considered a highway, but just based on the Google Maps here, Ridgeview does not have access to 435, so there really is no way to get there without getting on 110th. You either get on 110th off of I-70 or Kansas Avenue to 110th off of 435.
Let's go to Steve in Kearney. Hey, Steve, I knew our truck people would weigh in on this. It's been a long time, if ever, that I've seen a lawsuit like this. It's super fascinating to us.
Yeah, hey, you guys, love your show. Been a truck driver in KC for many, many years. I'm actually working at a large freight company that's over in Edwardsville right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I relocated over there about maybe 3 years ago, and a lot of us guys that relocated over there, we were trying to figure out how to get over to down to Caw Drive down there, and where all the big companies are, FedEx and so on and so forth, all down there. And I think a couple of guys got on that road that you're talking about, 110. Is that what it is? And,
yep.
And they ran into altercations. I think the local police department there wasn't crazy about it, but I always thought that if it was a city, I'm not real familiar with that road, but I always thought if it was a city road and the city was taking care of it, that it could be deemed no truck traffic. Just real quick before I get off, I used to work over off of 210 up in Liberty, and I don't know, not everybody's familiar with that area probably, but old 33 highway goes up through downtown Liberty, the old part of Liberty,
okay,
over there, and it comes out up where the Hallmark has a huge warehouse up there, which gets a lot of traffic. And guys coming from the south used to come up 291 and jump on 33, go right up to the Hallmark through Liberty there. Well, it is congested, and there's a lot of residential homes there. But I remember when I was with the carrier, this was probably back in 2012, somewhere in there, 2013, it was all open to truck traffic. And then Liberty, just out of the blue, shut it off to truck traffic. So all the guys going to Hallmark have to go up I-35. And it's quite a bit, it's quite a large change of route going that way. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
So that's what I want to know from anyone who might know, Steve, because KDOT is the one that sent the warning letter to the city,
right,
saying if you don't lift this ban, you are in violation of federal law. You could lose all of your federal highway funding. And then I'm reading this. Cities do have some leeway in regulating truck traffic, but state and federal law plays a role. Federal law prohibits municipalities from restricting access to national highways or routes deemed, quote, essential for commercial transportation. And I think those three words are going to get Edwardsville.
Yeah, Edwardsville might be completely shut out from that, and they might have to go back to the way it was before. Yep.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for the call, Steve. Like, when I say I think they'll lose, I don't think they're going to lose the federal funding. I think they're going to have to fold and say, we have to allow trucks on 110th. This is directly south of the Speedway, by the way, on the other side of I-70.
And why can't there be trucks on that road?
Because
it's not a windy road. There aren't bridges.
In the mayor's Facebook post, she said, I am the mayor protecting the neighbors and the town. We want this to have a small town feel. And the trucks coming along 110th, my guess, steps on the small town feel.
Well, I agree with that. And I can feel for the neighbors, but you want a small town feel, but you also want commerce.
Right.
So pick your poison.
Let's go to Paula in Kansas City. Hey, Paula.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
I'm good. Go ahead.
My thought, I'm not a trucker or anything, but my thought about it was that maybe the reason around town they have certain roads that are designated without no trucks is because of one of two possible things. It could be that there are bridges with a weight limit that the trucks are going exceeding that limit and it's going to weaken the bridge, or possibly it's a road that's very windy and very sharp turns, so they're worried that if that semi got too moving too quickly, it could cause it to tip.
And Paula, those are good guesses, but we're looking at this. 110th Street is a straight shot. It is as straight and narrow as straight and narrow comes.
It's got two curves, but they're not sharp curves. They are gradual curves. I think I just figured out what's going on here.
Cities often have ordinances or regulations that address truck traffic, allowing them to designate specific routes for commercial vehicles or prohibit them from certain streets, particularly in residential areas. Would you consider 110th Street to be residential?
Yeah. I mean, it turns into Edwardsville Drive when it gets into Edwardsville, and it's all homes.
Okay, so the trucks wouldn't be there.
Just south of where this development is proposed is where the city line is. So Bonner Springs gave the company the authority to build here.
Oh, yeah.
Bonner Springs is making the economic revenue off of this company building here.
It's Bonner.
Edwardsville is mad that there's now going to be trucks coming through their town.
But to that point, Sam, any development just south of I-70 or north of I-70, pardon me, could potentially involve that 110th Street corridor.
But I don't know why this is an issue, because they can get to the property off of 110th Street without ever touching Edwardsville from I-70. Are they just wanting access also to 435 so they can get trucks coming and going?
Because the last truck driver said there are times where they will be rerouted all the way around.
Huh.
913-586-7798.
There's also a number of businesses already in that area that I'm sure have truck traffic.
Well, so that's my question. Is this just, you know, another domino that has fallen with respect to traffic there, because there's so much commerce right there? You're going to have truck traffic.
A flooring company? Yeah.
Take more calls straight ahead. You are listening to Dana and Parks. Stick with us. Tell me what you saw on the map there that Dan just showed you, Sam, because this is also fascinating.
If you Google the specific city name, so if you just go into Google Maps and you type in Bonner Springs, Kansas, it pulls up on the map the boundaries of the city. So I had mentioned that north of a certain street, it was Bonner. South of a certain street, it was Edwardsville.
Right.
When you pull it up and it shows you the city boundaries, the property that has this development is like a peninsula into Edwardsville. That dead ends at 110th Street. It is also on the north side perimetered by Ridgeview, and on the south side by Speaker Road.
So it juts all the way into Edwardsville, but just up to the line.
But the property north of that to I-70 on 110th Street is entirely inside Edwardsville. So Edwardsville is trying to shut down truck access for an eighth of a mile between this property and I-70.
They're going to lose.
Yeah, because there is no other way to get there without going down two-lane highways for who knows how many miles to come in the back way.
My guess is, and I don't know about the highway rules when it comes to this, but my guess is if there is a reasonable alternate route, the city could invoke that. But if there is not a reasonable alternate route and they are surrounded by that part of Bonner that juts right up to Edwardsville, you have to allow access to the development, do you not?
I mean, the only other option there would be to go down to K7, turn right, go to Ridgeview, and then zigzag Ridgeview all the way through. But then still, you're going along the Edwardsville line.
And more residential neighborhoods.
Yeah.
We'll keep you posted on where this ends up, because I love a good small town fight, man.
Oh, yeah.
And I do understand. If you live along 110th, if you are the mayor, I absolutely understand that you do not want heavy truck traffic on that road. I get it. I just don't think they're going to win. Huh.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for the update.
By the way, it's Riverview, not Ridgeview.
I keep saying Ridgeview. I know. Sorry. On to Jackson County. I don't know if we're going to make this a topic or not, but we've got to mention it because it just never ends. A required 6-vote majority to override Jackson County Executive Frank White's veto of the property tax assessment ordinance has failed.
Yep.
White vetoed the measure that would have required the county to comply with the Missouri State Tax Commission order that said roll back the assessments, cap the increases at 15%. That then went to Frank White. he vetoed it, and the Jackson County
legislature failed to
could
override it.
Not yeah. override it with a 6-vote majority.
So yeah,
I hate it when bans fail because it's a double negative. But you know what I'm saying?
I didn't know that you could go against the court order in this situation.
I didn't either.
The state tax commission, of course, said, "Hey, we have state laws about this. You can't increase values over 15%." They put that order to Jackson County. Jackson County pushed back, filing suit. They took it to a judge. The judge said, no, the state law overrides the county precedent. You have to cap them at 15%. This tit-for-tat back and forth is wild. And Jackson County residents are stuck in the middle of it and are just out their money.
Legislators Megan Marshall, Jeannie Lauer, Charlie Franklin, and Jalen Anderson upheld White's veto. Quoting here from Marshall, "This ordinance does not fix the issues the community deserves, or it does not fix the assessment process." That's true. It's not going to fix the debacle, and it's not going to fix the assessment process moving forward. It would at least freeze some of the insanity we saw with the hundreds of percents of increases.
Yeah, 200%, 300%. And I understand where Frank White's coming from, and maybe some of the legislators, maybe this is their reasoning for voting no on this veto vote, is that they have already spent the money, and this could put them in serious financial turmoil by saying, okay, we're going to rebate you however many thousands of dollars on this 2025 assessment that's coming up. But we've heard from the beginning of this process, I am trying to be a good steward of taxpayer money. Are you? A good steward meaning taking it?
So one of the legislators who upheld the veto called the 2023 assessment process flawed and chaotic, true, but said this ordinance, quote, "does not fix the issues at hand. We need to lead with responsibility. This ordinance is a reaction and not a solution." And to your point, Sam, they raised concerns about school districts and public safety losing revenue as a result of the rollback. You have to remember there are certain districts that got millions of dollars
mm-hmm.
in a windfall off of
extra money, yeah.
Extra money coming from homeowners. That money has already been spent. They have hired teachers. They have hired staff members.
To them, it was a payday. We have all this extra tax
and
money coming
it.
In.
There's no getting around that. But quoting here from legislator Sean Smith, who introduced the ordinance, says the homeowners were wronged. They were wronged. They were overbilled by $250 million.
Mm.
And we need to take every step to fix that, saying that lawmakers need to decide with the taxpayer rather than, quote, "the lawless administration that continues to break the law."
And those who didn't overpay sold their homes because they were afraid of being kicked out.
Oh, my God. It is such a mess. White did not attend the meeting today, by the way.
Oh, of course not.
Someone was asking this out in the newsroom.
Quit hiding.
When is he has been running unopposed up to this point. That's never going to happen now. That is never going to happen now. Someone will run. Or, we had a listener ask about this on Friday, where is the recall petition?
Yeah.
That being said, you could put all of those hours into launching a recall. It's not going to give the homeowners their money back.
It's not going to fix the past issue. And now, because it happens every 2 years, property owners are going to see another 15% increase.
My God.
On their property
taxes.
It is
a nightmare.
And that's not an increase from the previous valuation. That is an increase on the current standing valuation from 2023. So if your property went up 300%, well, now it's going to go up 15% on top of that 300. Good luck.
I'll tell you something else. We are, you know, actively currently looking for a place to relocate. Actively looking for a place to relocate. We would never set foot, and I love Kansas City, Sam. We would never set foot in Jackson County with this going on.
We're looking for houses as well, and I really want to be in the Waldo area, but if you're just going to be taking money from me every single year with no precedent to do it.
I was just going to say how many people our age are like, oh, let's move to Brookside.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Brookside. There is no way we would set foot in the county until this is resolved.
We have switched our search to the Kansas side.
Have you? When did you do that? You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, we are primarily looking on the Kansas side now. We were looking in Waldo. We were looking in West Plaza, trying to find something in our price range. And granted, we weren't having very much luck, but...
But are those homeowners also hiking prices to somehow recoup some of that money? I don't know what the real estate agents are saying about that. In fact, if you're a real estate agent, I would love to hear from you on this. Like, is this starting to come up in conversation?
It's a real concern. I mean, if it's going to go up 300% in 1 year, all of a sudden, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, if you're house poor, as we like to call it, you have a very nice home, it's worth a lot of money, but you're barely struggling to keep up with the bills, that $3,500, $4,000 property tax payment at the new year, around Christmas time, is going to put you out of your home.
I would just want to know, is it capped at 15%? Is it in fact going to be capped at 15? And even 15 is enormous. And then,
Frank White, and I applauded Frank White for this, last week put out a release saying in 2025 it will be capped at 15%. Now, in the same release, he said, sorry, you're not getting any of your money back. Sorry, we're not rolling back.
Okay, so if it's capped in 2025, what about 2026? You know where I'm going with this? And I don't know that I would believe anyone. It's such a pissing match in between all of the parties involved. And a house is a locked in. You are now on the hook to pay this, Sam. I didn't know, but I'm not surprised you cross back over into Kansas. Yeah. I'm not.
This will be a class action lawsuit against the county.
But where's the money going to come from?
It's going to bankrupt the county. And by the way, in the middle of all this, you remember they said, hey, we'd love an extra sales tax to pay for some new stadiums.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. Yeah, that Lead time balloon. Is not now for that.
Yeah.
All right. We have an update out of Lexington that we will pass on to you. Not looking to make this a topic, but want to update you because we covered this at length last week. Liberty Gas has set up a claims number and contact and process for anyone impacted by that horrible, horrible house explosion last week, as the players in this case continue to point fingers. The company shut off the gas to the entire town, as you know, last Wednesday after a house at 18th Street exploded. It killed a 5-year-old boy, critically injured his sister and dad. They suffered critical burns, just awful. While questions remain about what led up to the explosion, city leaders confirmed a fiber optic company hit the gas line 3 hours prior to the explosion. Most of the customers over there went without gas for a week. Forget that. Some of the customers don't have houses they can go back to.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the pictures of one house that was basically just the front steps.
A lot of those homes were destroyed. This is going to be heavily litigated because Missouri's 811 hotline, like the DigSafe people, are saying we did not do anything wrong. They did not do anything wrong. My guess is, and it's the NTSB looking into this, apparently when it comes to gas lines, that falls under the NTSB umbrella.
It's very rare that they actually look into it, too.
My guess is the gas line was marked incorrectly. That is my guess.
Right. All those years ago.
Well, and
it's within 2 feet of accuracy. So if they were trying to, you know, make a close call running this fiber line, because the way they do it is they just drive these pipes through the soil.
Right, but I'll remind you, Sam,
like they
used
to.
Even if the mapping is wrong, the just mind-blowing inefficiency of the system where 3 hours went by from the time that that gas leak was reported and no one was evacuated.
And now a child is dead.
The city has got to answer for that. 913-586-7798. We're back with much more straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. File this under, be careful what you ask for. The player at UCLA, Sam, Nico, I don't know how to say Lamaliva.
Imaliva is what it looks like, but it's Iamaleava.
Iamaleava.
Iamaleava, yeah.
Well, Iamaleava is out a lot of money.
Yeah, that he is.
We're going to call him Nico. He threw away more than $2 million per year in NIL money in hopes of more money. Not only did he not come even close to the $4 million a year that he wanted in his pay raise, he's actually going to end up taking a decline in pay with his UCLA deal rumored to be in the $1.5 million range. So let me get this straight.
Pay cut.
He left, wanted more money, and ended up getting less money.
Yeah, so this was a controversy that kind of blew up the sports world, the college sports world anyway, last week, and the NIL landscape. It was a big question. Is Nico going to stay at Tennessee? He is a fantastic quarterback, and he is seeing different players all over the country get $8 million, right. $6 million. And he's looking at those players and saying, I'm only getting two? What the heck is that about? Well, we don't know who gave him the advice, but somebody, an agent of sorts, told him, go to UCLA. They can get you some good money. And they promised him, or I don't know how this works, if they just said, hey, we can get you $4 million, or if there's an actual contract in place. I can't imagine there would be a contract in place. But they said, hey, we can get you $4 million a year if you come and play for the Bruins.
Nope.
He made the jump, and he got there, and he found out. He signed to the school, and he found out, well, that $4 million is actually only going to be $1.5 million.
Okay, so he's going to be, what, 19 years old, 20 years old? You are an adult at that age playing big boy games with big boy money.
Yep.
But you would also think they would be surrounded by people like an agent or somebody who would say, you're an idiot if you don't take the $2 million a year that is in front of you. Stay where you are, take the $2 million.
There were
he
a lot
didn't.
Of
he ends up with 1.5.
Sports podcasters similar to Pat McAfee who were screaming about this on their show saying, what are you doing?
What are you thinking?
Fans were upset because it looked like a college player, a 19-year-old, was holding a university hostage for
$2
million.
They're probably like, go ahead, good riddance.
At the end of the day, I mean, and you have to factor in the cost of living at UCLA. I mean, he's probably going to have student housing, but going out to eat, doing all the other stuff that students do is going to cost a whole lot more money. And now he's getting $500,000 less
Did
per year.
Did you also see over the weekend a second college has lost all of its players to the portal? First, it was Indiana.
Well, then KU.
A few weeks ago. KU went way down. We didn't lose every single one of them, but we went way down like most of them. Over the weekend, Baylor lost all of its players. And what are they blaming? NIL budgeting.
Oh, absolutely.
This says, when Drew Scott took over as Baylor's head coach in the summer of 2003, he faced a rebuilding project, yada, 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 yada. He was 33 years old at the time. Now he faces another daunting rebuild after losing their entire roster to the portal. It is not an issue with the job that he did, but rather the unprecedented chaos that has engulfed college basketball. Not only is the sport rapidly transitioning to a pay-for-play model, teams are now furiously scrambling to front-load their NIL payments in advance of the new rules that are expected to go into place, in like a week or two? Something like that?
They need to rip the Band-Aid off. Turn it into semi-pro sports. Make them sign contracts. You can't be throwing around millions of dollars with the freedom to jump whenever you want to because you will jump.
This is Baylor. He said, I will not say what our current payroll is, but he is clearly having a hard time keeping up with programs that have the deepest pockets. If you could pay everybody what they wanted, you wouldn't lose anybody, right? We have just enough resources to build a very competitive team.
And by the way, it's the AD that decides where that money is going.
They don't have the money to pay their players, so all of the players jumped.
I bet you they're spending a whole lot of money on their football team.
This is a nightmare.
If the AD's a fan of football, sorry, basketball, you're not getting any NIL money.
All right, when we come back, we're going to switch to track. Yes, track. We have a new Women's Boston Marathon record holder and winner in the spring. 2 hours, 17 minutes, 20 seconds, and her alma mater is just west down the road. We will talk to her coach from KU straight ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.